You know what's funny? Like, so there's like a rule, right? You see kids at the side of the road selling lemonade. Takes you back to your childhood and how badly you wanted someone to stop. So you have to stop, right?
Definitely.
There have been a few times where I've gotten out of the car and they're like, $1.50. I'm like, what the hell? What happened?
I thought it was a quarter.
Right. Give me a quarter. No. I'll even take 50 cents. If you're north of a dollar, I might get back in the car. I'm sorry, kids.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's your host, Vince Vetrano.
6:12 on a Monday morning, 11 injured, 6 hospitalized over the weekend when an escalator at American Family Field malfunctioned following the Brewers-Cubs game Saturday night.
Scary situation, one of my biggest fears.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. Like, as a kid, I was always afraid my shoelaces were going to get stuck in the escalator.
Well, this turned out a lot worse than that. Legit fear. Some folks just don't like escalators, right?
Well, when I first heard about this, I thought that it just got stuck. But no, that's total opposite.
In fact, the exact opposite, Michelle. Michelle's in for Eric today. Fans talking about it Sunday with TMJ4 News is that escalator remained shut down for Sunday's game. It's one of those really tall escalators at the ballpark. This one takes you from level 4 of the yard, so like the terrace level is what they call it, down to level 2, the loge level. You skip over that intermediate club level there in between.
And it's kind of narrow, isn't it?
Tall and narrow, right. So this dude who got off it just before it malfunctioned describes what he saw.
Did some sort of free fall type thing where it sped up completely. You would have thought they were going down a slide. Piles and piles of people on top of each other.
Yeah, stuck you can deal with, right? Okay, right. It's stuck. I guess we'll everybody walks down. Yeah. But sounded like, according to this guy, it sped up and just started going way too fast with people tumbling down, creating sort of a human pile at the bottom. Nicholas Mariano telling TMJ4 News he was on the escalator when it went nuts.
I almost contemplated like jumping off the escalator. I literally got up on the railing. There was an older lady and she was just kind of screaming and yelling. And that, I think that just makes it all worse. Like just hearing that. And, you know, when you're also looking back, there's blood on the escalator.
And the Brewers released a statement after the incident saying that they did have a team physician on scene as well as EMS immediately following. Team has since said it is working to reconnect with all the people who were injured. Statement published by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel quotes the team as saying the escalators are regularly inspected. They hadn't had any particular problems with this one, and they have been inspected once again since the incident. Folks at the ballpark reported that that particular escalator remained closed on Sunday. JS also reporting that upgrading the ballpark's 10 escalators is among the long-term improvement projects slated for the stadium, of course, having been awarded $500 million in those restoration and improvement funds. And that can't come, apparently, soon enough. 6:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers head west once again, facing the Rockies and Dodgers in a 7-game road trip that begins tonight. What an offensive tear the Brewers are on right now.
1-0 pitch. Fly ball to deep right. Are you kidding me? Another grand slam! 7-1 Brewers on the 5th grand slam in the last 8 days. You can't make it up.
You wouldn't dare. Bryce Turang with a grand slam Sunday. Jeff Levering on the call right here on 620 WTMJ. The Brewers routed the last place Chicago Cubs 7-1. The final, that gets a boat horn. Indeed, all the runs coming in that explosive fourth inning for the crew. Brewers fans have been frustrated at times this season. How many times have we seen it? Runners in scoring position and we can't get it done. Bases loaded and the crew comes up empty. Manager Pat Murphy asked, "What's up of late?"
Younger team that wasn't very effective with bases loaded up until about a week and a half ago. Now pitchers can't keep the ball in the park against you guys in the bases loaded. Just what's the
we made a huge adjustment with the bases loaded. That's a secret plan. How to hit homers with the bases loaded. It's been working. We bought it. It was a recipe online and got it.
Well, what then? I mean, like, one of those things about baseball, manager Pat Murphy there. Whatever it is, we like it. Brewers go 5-1 on the homestand. They won their 8th straight home series after beating the Cubs and take a 50-34 record into July. Brewers and Rockies from Coors Field in Denver tonight. 7:40 is the first pitch. best way to describe this next story is kind of like a Ryder Cup style team format for junior golfers. Wisconsin this week playing host to the U.S. National Junior Team, made up of six boys and six girls ranging in age from 15 to 17. So they've got a match against Australia, who fields a similar team. 2 days of team competition, Tuesday and Wednesday. We hope it's great weather for them at Century World in Stevens Point. 6:18 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Coming up on 6:22 this Monday morning, President Biden appears to be staying in the race for re-election following his shockingly poor debate performance.
With everything we have to do with, look.
The president spent the weekend at Camp David. If you were among the Democrats or swing voters hoping that he may be deciding to step aside, that is not the news that seems you'll be getting. ABC News White House correspondent Molly Nagel is with us live from Washington this morning. Morning, Molly.
Good morning, Vince.
So Camp David weekend for the president. Some had thought, okay, this is the indication it may result in the president deciding to bow out. That's not what you're hearing in Washington.
No, the White House is pushing back on that notion. Look, this was a visit that they advised prior to the debate, his plans to spend part of the weekend at Camp David, a White House official telling us that it was part of a plan for a family photograph. So family is everything to Joe Biden. They are his closest advisors. If you remember back in the 2020 election, it was his grandkids who ultimately called a family gathering that encouraged him to run. So it's not hard to believe that the family discussions would be critical in this, but ultimately the family and the campaign are both in lockstep, and they're saying that he's staying in the race. We saw Jill Biden was on the cover of Vogue magazine for this month, and in an editor's note in that, she pushed back saying that the president will not let those 90 minutes define the 4 years that he has been president, and he will continue to fight, and because he always, quote, does what's best for the country.
Some of the other things that we're hearing, we're talking with Molly Nagel, ABC News White House correspondent, that I think the statement was, look, if the president were to step aside, what would you have in the coming weeks? What would that look like? And the calculation that that's not good for Democrats who hope to take the White House again either.
Yeah, that's part of the argument that the campaign is making here. Part of it is that they're saying, yes, he did have a bad night, and bad nights happen, but he's going to get back up and keep fighting. So that is one part of the argument that the campaign is making, trying to stem, the bleeding from this debate performance. The other argument they're making here is kind of a be careful what you wish for situation. They're saying that if Biden were to drop out now, it would, quote, lead to weeks of chaos and internal food fighting and would be, quote, a highway to losing to Donald Trump. So they're kind of making a two-pronged argument here of what would happen if this did actually happen, but that's not going to happen because he's going to stay in the race.
What does it look like moving forward for the president in any upcoming speaking engagements? I mean, obviously, this is campaign crunch time. He's going to have to talk, and what's that going to look like?
I mean, that's one of the million-dollar questions, is how do they move forward from here? The reality is the campaign knows that they have to change the perception that was left in many people's minds after the debate. And we've already seen him out on the campaign trail once after that debate. He looked like a very different person in North Carolina when he took that stage than the guy we saw on Thursday night in Atlanta. But you have to imagine that this is part of their conversations and how they're moving forward with strategy. Do we need to get the president out there more? Does he need to be doing more interviews? That's something that they've been criticized over, that the president hasn't really been engaging with interviews or press conferences in the way that other administrations have. So I imagine that all of this is going to be part of their discussions as they move forward. But I think that they know that they have to do more to get him out there and to show people that the perception they may have been left with on Thursday night is not the reality if they want to, continue to stay in this race and ultimately win in November.
Well, you've been around this president, Molly. There are things that the White House can do and the campaign can do to put him in positions of relative strength. As opposed to being on the debate stage, they can sort of choreograph where and when they want him to speak.
Yes, but, you know, look, they have a lot of power when it comes to how the president is presented and where he does a lot of his speaking engagements. And he also has the power of the presidency at his back, right? He can do events in a presidential capacity to show the American people, look, I am here, I am doing the job, I am leading, you know, in a way that Donald Trump doesn't have that access. So that's those are all things that they can use to their benefit. But, you know, they're going to be keeping a close eye on a lot of things, but critically, how the support of voters are. And one way to see that is through polling. So you have to imagine that in the coming days, the president's team is going to be keeping a close eye on how that is trending for this election and try and tailor their plan based off of what they're seeing.
Molly Nagel from ABC News from the White House this morning. Thanks so much, Molly.
Thank you.
Coming up.
Things start to snowball, and then you walk another guy or you give up a cheap hit, and then...
Why Brewers manager Pat Murphy likened the Brewers offense to a woodpecker. That at 6:45.
Your kids ever set up lemonade stands?
Yeah.
Make a little extra...
What kid didn't? And with dreams of, we're going to be rich, right? We're going to sell so much lemonade.
Well, there's a six-year-old in Oklahoma who just... might be taking it to a whole new level by turning this kid's cliche into cash by joining the Chamber of Commerce in their town.
Six-year-old Sue Ann LeMays saved her money from her lemonade stand she's operated for 4 years. Her mom urged her to pay the $10 dues to the Tunkhawa, Oklahoma Chamber of Commerce Exec Director Christy Crumride.
With her own money?
One, two, three.
A ribbon cutting for her new lemonade, hot dogs, and pizza business. What does LeMay really, really, really like doing?
I really, really, really like selling stuff.
Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
This kid's going places.
That's fantastic. You know what's funny? Like, so there's like a rule, right? You see kids at the side of the road selling lemonade. Takes you back to your childhood and how badly you wanted someone to stop. So you have to stop, right?
Definitely.
There have been a few times where I've gotten out of the car and they're like, $1.50. I'm like, what the hell? What happened?
I thought it was a quarter.
Right. Give me a quarter. No. I'll even take 50 cents. If you're north of a dollar, I might get back in the car. I'm sorry, kids. Supply and demand, 6:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Down by the
at 6:42 this Monday morning, Summer Olympic Games in Paris, not a little more than 3 weeks away. Just saw the news that Simone Biles made it in gymnastics.
I was just laughing. Like, it would be a big deal if she didn't make it. I mean, I just assumed she would be in the Olympics.
Super comeback, and she is in top form. Now's the time when you really start to see a ramp up on stories about how the host city is not prepared. Happens all the time with varying degrees of truth and hyperbole. I worked at TMJ4 for so many years, the NBC, of course, the Olympic station for decades. So we were really plugged into this stuff. And, you know, every couple of years, winter or summer games, you'd have, is this stadium or this venue ready? Or is the light rail extension that goes to this part of town, is that going to be finished in time? And more often than not, it is, except for Sochi in Russia, where if you remember, people were checking into hotel rooms with no toilets installed and stuff. The elevators didn't work, whatever. A lot of horror stories in that one. Well, it is France's turn. Paris hosts the Summer Games later this month. Here's NBC's Keir Simmons reporting on the Today Show.
Winding through Paris, famously separating the left and right banks, the Seine is set to be the centerpiece of the Games. For the first ever opening ceremony outside of a stadium and, hopefully, the swimming leg of the triathlon.
Hopefully. Uh-oh. So it's like a mile-long swim for the Olympic triathlon. And the River Seine, one of the most historically polluted rivers on the planet, where swimming was expressly banned for the last century, is set to host aquatic events for the Olympics. Here's Simmons again.
Tests carried out for NBC News this past weekend found high levels of bacteria in the water, caused in part, experts say, by recent flooding.
2.5 times the safe bacteria levels for swimming. In Simmons' report on Today, that was 2 months ago. CNN following up with more recent tests showing the problem really hasn't gotten better. That despite France spending $1.5 billion on pollution mitigation efforts, including updates to sewage treatment and runoff controls. Now, in their defense, we do see this from time to time here in Milwaukee. We'll have beaches closed on Lake Michigan. South Shore is closed like all the time, especially after heavy rain. A lot of runoff that flows into the lake. Paris reporting a lot of rainfall over the last several months. So it's not doomed. Dan Angelescu is with a tech company that develops water testing products. He told NBC, look, you get some favorable weather here ahead of the games, it's going to be okay.
When there is no rain for several weeks, let's say 2 or 3 weeks without rain, you can actually reach really good water quality conditions.
So they are hoping for a super dry stretch here as the games approach less than a month away from the Summer Olympic Games in Paris.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
Brewers are not back home for more than a week. They return to play the Pirates a week from tomorrow, kicking off a 7-game road trip tonight in Colorado. Sunday, a game to remember at American Family Field. The only inning in which the Brewers scored was the fourth, but we scored a lot.
2-1. Fly ball, center field. It is back. It is way back. And the Brewers have the lead. Straight away center field for Christian Yelich on a hanging curveball. It's 2-1 Milwaukee.
Yelich erased the Cubs' 1-0 lead with a two-run shot. An RBI single from Sal Frelick would follow, bringing another run. And then the crew loads the bases again for Bryce Turang.
1-0 pitch. Fly ball to deep right. Are you kidding me? Another grand slam! 7-1 Brewers on the fifth grand slam in the last 8 days. You can't make it up.
And you can't hit a grand slam unless, great call by Levo there too, by the way, unless you've got guys on base. That's pretty simple. And whether it's walks or singles or what, manager Pat Murphy has been preaching good at-bats, taking pitches, working the count, finding your pitch to hit. Seems like the right formula.
Things start to snowball, and then you walk another guy or you give up a cheap hit, and then, you know, it snowballs. You got to, like, peck away. It's like the woodpecker thing, you know what I mean? You just peck away, peck away, peck away, and all of a sudden, that hole breaks through.
Something about this season, I tell you. Brewers and Rockies from Coors Field in Denver tonight with the first pitch at 7:40 our time.
Hey, excuse me. Do you know where the pickleball tournament is?
You're in the right place. You want beer or no?
Big deal today in recreational sport, if you will. Milwaukee County hosting a ribbon-cutting ceremony for the first pickleball courts in the county park system. Fremming Park in Franklin. If you know that area, it's off 51st Street. It's just north of Ryan Road. They resurfaced and then repainted the tennis courts, converted to 6 regulation pickleball courts at the park. County announcing registration for open play pickleball during reserve times at the courts as well. There's a 10 a.m. event this morning with the county executive, who I can vouch for him, literally just learned the game like 2 weeks ago because I was there. Mark Cass, formerly the Milwaukee Business Journal, now with the Wisconsin Athletic Hall of Fame. He's always teaching people the game. So he had the county executive out. He's like, look, you're going to keep hearing about this. You got to learn to play. So he is on board with these projects, which I predict there will be more of to come. 6:49 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
I'm going to live where the green grass grows. Watch my corn pop up and rolls. Every night.
Talk about big events. Golf's U.S. Women's Open returns to Wisconsin next summer, and that is a big deal in a state that has been blessed with 3 decades of major events from the golf world coming here between the men's and the women's game. Golf's national championship for the women will be at Erin Hills in Washington County next May. And then after that, there are no golf majors scheduled for Wisconsin. Not Erin Hills, not Black Wolf Run, which has twice hosted the U.S. Women's Open, not Whistling Straits in Sheboygan County. Nothing. And I am concerned about that as a golf fan, but don't hang up. Don't hang up. I know not everybody cares about golf. Conversation I'm going to share with you next is only tangentially about the game of golf, really. It's about our economy. It's about high-profile events and exposure. It's about tourism. It's about all of those things. The championship director from the USGA, which is the United States Golf Association, was in town the other day, and I went out to spend some time with her when she was visiting Erin Hills. 2 takeaways from my chat with Allison Burns. This event next summer is really big, and more may still be to come. As you know, Wisconsin has a deep history of major championships. For the last 3 decades, we've had a major either from women dating back to the late 90s up in Kohler at Black Wolf Run, to the PGA championships, a couple of senior men's opens, 17 open here, obviously. Nothing on the calendar after this championship next year. What do we got to do?
We'll host a fantastic Women's Open. I think we, USGA is a great partner of Erin Hills. Erin Hills is a great partner of USGA, and that relationship is fundamental in us hosting several championships in the future. So I hope to see great news as well.
Is this a test for future Opens? Do we have to perform? And if so, in what areas do we have to perform to get future championships?
No, I think Erin Hills has to ask us if they want to host another championship. It's a formal process.
I'll put in for them. We would like to.
I love that. So, no, I don't think it's a test. We know that Erin Hills can host USGA championships at the optimal level, and they're excellent at doing that. And this is just another opportunity for the community to show up, for the fans to be here, and for the players to experience Erin Hills as well.
You just mentioned several things that we excel at here in Wisconsin, whether it's turning out fans, hospitality, volunteers is always a strength as well. Those must help us.
Totally. I mean, we're about to launch our full volunteer program in a couple months. We need about 1,500 volunteers for the Women's Open to actually operate this championship. If we don't get that, it's going to make the week pretty tough for all of us. So this place, it's a no-brainer that they're going to sign up. They're going to be here. And then on the second hand, that fans are going to show up as well. Wisconsin embraces golf. They embrace events in general. And I think that's what we're excited to see with the Women's Open.
Can you give me a couple of the big numbers, economic impact, total fans expected, things like that?
Yeah, so economic impact around 20 to 30 million. We will start our construction in about March, where people will temporarily live on site here in the surrounding area. They'll go to restaurants, they're going to fill up hotel rooms, all of that stuff. And then from a fans perspective, we are open Wednesday through Sunday for the championship for 2025, so we'll expect about 50 to 70,000 fans for the week to turn up, which is a lot. That's a peak day on Friday or Saturday of around 10 to 15,000 people.
And then in terms of tickets, you mentioned they're already on sale, various packages, one day all the way up to the whole deal in some fancy tent?
Yeah, Trophy Club. So have a sports bar styled environment where there's upgraded restrooms, which is a plus at a golf tournament. That starts at $300 for the week. You can transfer your tickets to other people in your family. It's a great option right now. And then $150 just to have gallery access for the week. And then we have a flex pack that's around $175 on sale right now.
In terms of the 17 Open on the men's side, it exhausts me as a fan of golf and, of course, of Wisconsin, that there's a knock that perhaps the course didn't set up as difficult as USGA would have liked. Granted, some of the best players in the world went home before the weekend. Mm-hmm. I mean, Rory didn't make the weekend. Jason Day didn't make the weekend. And it turns out Brooks Koepka is pretty good at golf. Yeah. Is there any truth to the rumors that, well, this course wasn't hard enough?
I don't think so. I think you know probably as well as all of us, this is a tough golf course. It sets up and it plays like a USGA championship.
Because you want it to be difficult, but you also want it to be watchable. I like birdies.
I do too. Birdies are nice. But it is good to have a tough test.
Allison Burns, Championship Director at the USGA. The volunteer portal is not yet open, but I know a lot of people are interested in volunteering. Great way to see amazing things, get up close to the players. Tremendous access inside the ropes. I will share that information when it opens up. For more information on tickets, you can look for this story posted on our website right now. I have a link there. Or text GOLF to 855-616-1620, and I'll send that right out to you. 6:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.